Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Stoneface Films podcast right around the corner. But first, we want to talk to you about the nice people who brought you this episode, Buddha Bag is for those who love comfort, fun, and quality. With more than 20,000 happy customers in 35 countries worldwide, you know Buddha Bag is something special. It's filled with the highest quality memory foam. It shapes to your body and adapts to your weight. It's 100% made in Ireland and extremely durable. You can choose between more than 40 combinations between size, fabric, and color. You can design your own Buddha Bag. We all have some at home. It is like sitting on a motherfucking cloud. Why not go to buddhabag.com? That's buddhabag.com. Check them out. We highly, highly recommend them. Even have a look at the mini. Don't let that name fool you. It's gargantuan.
Yeah.
It's huge. We easily fit three people on the smallest one they do. So check it out. buddhabag.com. Highly recommended by Stoneface Films podcast.
Buddha Bag.
buddhabag.com.
Was it the red coats? The soldiers wore red, so the blood was hidden? Was that a thing?
Probably, yeah.
Deadpool.
Deadpool is what I'm Deadpool is what I'm thinking of, actually.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. I am the long streak of piss known as John Hosier Byrne, and with me, as always, the co-host. He almost couldn't be here today because he was web-slinging, and by that, of course, I mean he was selling cocaine on the internet, Mr. David Riley.
Hello, folks.
How you doing, David?
Melting.
It's appallingly warm.
We were giving out, before we were recording, on the way over to record with Lynn Ruth in our last episode, Rob was like, what the fuck's this Leavenster weather? Like, what is Leavenster weather hasn't kicked in yet?
It was delayed.
It's delayed. Got real concentrated.
It's been appalling. Me and Donna went out and played three sets of tennis yesterday in the heat.
Brave
and
fools.
I genuinely think I got sunstroke when I was driving home. Like, I got my vision got real blurry and I felt real faint. And I've never fainted in my life. Like, I don't have the constitution of a person who faints. Yeah. Fainting is sort of reserved for, you know,
those of us who are built like a French libertine.
This is a good point. Whereas in France they call me Le Wall. Like, I'm not going
like
over.
They have a word for wall, but they're still
no, they just
Le
call
wall.
Me Le Wall. So, you know, I stay standing, but Jesus Christ, I nearly fainted on the drive home after it. Anyway, listen, we'll get there. Also with us today, and we are delighted to have
Elton John, Hosier Byrne. You're still standing.
That's very true, because I'm a rocket man. Also learned yesterday.
He's a gay man.
Blew my mind. I learned yesterday on Reddit that song has no metaphor to it. It's just a literal song about a dude who's going on a rocket ship to Mars. There's no...
There was a lot of that in the 70s I really liked. And it really makes...
so deep. No, it's
about
rocket man.
Yeah, he's just like, no, it's just a story about a man who's going on a rocket.
That really takes it. Shatner's dramatic performance off it. Yeah. Even makes it way worse.
Like, listen, we'll introduce the voice you heard just there. He is the Barrett to our cloud strife, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Hello.
How you doing, Rob? Not the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Not too bad at all. I got my gun arm.
Was that your gun arm? Final Fantasy?
Seven. Yeah, well done. And listen, the other person we'd like to bring in before we go straight into the what we did this week and all that sort of carry
weeks.
On. It's been 2 weeks, yeah. The gentleman we have with us is nothing short of an online social media phenomenon.
I thought you were about to say online sociopath.
Oh, there's that as well. Both are equally applicable.
Yeah.
You know him from his stand-up comedy in Ireland, the UK, and around the world. He is... how many times have you been on the show now?
This is my fifth episode.
Fifth or sixth?
One, two,
easy.
Oh, maybe,
including
maybe
the 100th episode as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
So probably six, right? So yeah. I think fair to say a part of the Stoneface Films podcast family, absolutely. Along with the Donna Doyles and the Killian Woods of the world. You're one of the mainstays. You're a fan favourite. And we're delighted to have you back for your first episode on season 4. Mr. Ryan Cullen, ladies and gentlemen.
I am delighted to be here.
Thank you very much for being
here.
I
do love this podcast. It's always great fun.
It's great. It's enjoyable.
I've done podcasts sometimes where I'm just sitting staring at some guy. All you can hear is like the twirling like a teacup, you know. Yeah. I was just trying to think. I've only fainted once.
Yeah.
And it was in a hospital.
Well, that's a good place
it's
to
the
faint.
Best place to faint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you there visiting or like, were you there?
I had an asthma attack, right?
Right.
So the girl goes, I want you to take some bloods. And I go, you don't need to. It's my lungs. I can tell you straight off that's the problem. And then she goes, okay, well, I'm going to take some bloods anyway. I was like, okay, fine. And she went to put a syringe in me.
Right.
And she goes, she goes, are you good with needles? And I was like, yeah, fine. And then she broke the needle in my arm back.
Oh!
So there's a little pool of blood forming just down by my foot, and I was sitting there going, and I got sick, and then passed out.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then I got back around, and I was just like, what have you done? And she goes, I just hold on there, I have to get another syringe. And I was like, you're not getting another syringe. I've already lost half. There's a little.
You've got half of it still in me.
I was like, get this one out. And look it down, there's a little pool of blood. I was like, she meant absolute horror show.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Why are the floors in hospitals not red?
That's a good
people,
shout.
People wash them.
Or like the uniforms would make more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like why isn't it red coats rather than white?
Because it'll make you think of death and blood.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, this doctor is already covered in blood.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a warmer color. I'd prefer the warmth of a red to the
sterile.
Sterile, stark nature of the nice disinfectant white.
Was it?
Buddha bags, everyone on the
Listen, we'll get to
Here's the plug. There we go. In early.
Yeah. Don't need to record the ads at the end, Rob. Don't worry.
Was it the red coats? The soldiers wore red, so the blood was hidden? Was that a thing?
Probably, yeah.
Deadpool is what I'm thinking of, actually. I was chatting to someone the other day about
great
about the red coats wearing red
as a psychological effect. No,
there is a psychological thing.
There is a psychological, like all the interior of fast food restaurants. Like if you go into a McDonald's or Burger King main color scheme is not red, but you go in there, all the walls are red, like. Even the ones on Grafton Street and stuff. Mm. And it's because it produces a psychological effect where you're more impromptu in your decision-making, we say. So you
God
make
damn it, it works.
Stupid decisions well, like being a Burger King.
Covered in red at the moment in here.
It's true, a lot of red in here. That might be why the podcast is of such high quality and such consistency.
You're just so aggressive.
Yeah, this is it. Lads, let's go around the corner.
Around
the corner. We've got 2 weeks. We have not been on the show. We've had a lovely mid-season break. We all went away on varying holidays. Ryan, we'll start with you, sure. How's your last 2 weeks been? What have you been up to?
You see, I'm only 2 days ahead and 2 days behind. I do not remember the last 2 weeks. A little bit of drinking. Oh, festivals. That's right. We had Forbidden Fruit. Was that 2 weeks ago? That's probably more.
It was.
There was one.
Yeah.
We got drenched at a music festival for 3 days. I only had to come one of the days, and they decided I'll make the use of the weekend, and I really wish I didn't.
Text me on the Sunday. Are you around?
Nope.
Yeah.
Cinema, nice and dry.
Yeah.
Good shot.
You were in on the Saturday, right, David?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just didn't go back any of the other days.
Right.
Went in, played Simon Says with the audience, because you got to treat drunk teenagers like they're babies, and then went to the pub at Ryan and watched the football.
Right.
Home.
Fair enough.
Home.
Yeah.
I just sit around on Monday then, waiting for Bon Iver, the big spectacular.
Danny Brown class, though?
Danny Brown is great, yeah. But, like, the sound was all over the place. But, you know, like, I'm not a fan of people like Bon Iver closing a festival, you know? Too boring.
I hear what you're saying.
It's great. I went in and went, that guy is amazing. And I went, okay, I'm done.
If you got your band name off a thing of French jam, you shouldn't be closing a festival. Do you know what I mean? That's just a good rule of thumb, I think.
Conor McGregor made his little appearance every year. He always does this.
He did not, did he?
He walks in and goes, yeah, and then leaves, and I go, what's the point? You didn't stay for anything. Best thing ever.
Did he talk?
He just came in.
Just was there.
Took a couple of pictures.
Got a crowd.
Looking at him, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Everyone mad.
Was it last year you were telling me?
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. Last year, I was sitting watching, it was like Vince Staples or someone, right? And
we all know him.
There's that little raised platform for disabled people to see the main stage. Best thing ever, right? The guy with cerebral palsy in there with the electric chair and all.
Before it continues, the views of Ryan Cullen do not represent the views of Stoneface Films or any of its subsidiaries, of which there are none. Go on, Ryan.
Next thing, Conor McGregor comes in, little posse security around him, you know, and everybody's like, whoa. Ticket things, they just go, obviously they're like, we need McGregor onto this thing because there's a little, it's a little caged off so nobody jumps on top of him. So next thing I just see the two security guards go up. The guy's on his own, the cerebral palsy, that they literally just wheeled him off the stage thing.
What?
And left him to the side and brought McGregor up on the, McGregor didn't see him or anything, like, but before it, that's what the security did, just left him in amongst the crowd.
That's fucking muck.
And then everybody got in. I was just sitting there going like, I wish I got it on camera, to be honest, because poor.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
See, you thought I was going to go down the thing. I was on the moral high ground.
At what point, Ryan, does this become the best thing ever?
Yeah, I like seeing that.
Then it started raining, and the guy's wheelchair got stuck in the mud, and McGregor.
Humanity at its worst is always the best.
I do hear what you mean.
I did laugh a little bit.
Davey, what's your week been like? Your 2 weeks? What have you been up to?
I jaunted over to London for a gig.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god! Right. So I went over to do a gig in London, in Good Ship in Kilburn. Really nice gig. It's doing 20 minutes. So the first 15 went all lovely. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do 5 minutes of new stuff from the show at the end, just to, like, I got them on my side. Go. So doing a bit about Truck Simulator, the game. and then afterwards, a bit went fine. Afterwards, so the venue is a nightclub and a music venue every other night of the week, other than Mondays, where it's a comedy club. And then the MC, Ben Vanderveld, came on stage and was like, so every so often, Joe, the manager here, gives me weird things that they found when they clean up after the nightclub on a Saturday. And this is what he just handed me. He produces a copy of European Truck Simulator 2, a hard copy of it, that someone had left in the nightclub on Saturday night. And I couldn't speak for 15 minutes. I was like, it's a glitch. Something's fucking weird and glitched in the sim we're living in.
Yeah.
So weird. Product code all still there.
That is bizarre.
Disc, immaculate. £1 RSPCA sticker on the front of it. So,
so
I've got that at home.
Niche.
So weird, man. It was so,
can you
so
explain
weird.
These simulator games? Because I see them, like, mm-hmm. Goat Simulator some days.
Goat Simulator is like a parody of those type of games. Like,
okay, I thought it was just they were running
no,
out
but
ideas.
There'd be like
no,
a lot
people
of
training to be goats.
Yeah. Greatest of all time.
So there'd be a lot of, like, I mean, obviously there's like the flight simulators, which go way back to the
okay.
early
those
90s.
Those like the OG like, sim games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in Germany, they're huge. Like, it's all like Lumberjack Simulator.
Truck Simulator's a German game. Farming Simulator's German.
Yeah, and there's dozens of them. Like, those would be the ones that sort of found international acclaim.
Goddamn Boat
like,
Simulator, man. I bought it for
what's
John.
The
European Boat Simulator, yeah.
Huh?
What's the objective?
Just
what are you
man.
Farming? Well, how do I win?
Well, I think
Farming Simulator?
How you don't win is you don't leave a tractor in a lake and then spend the rest of your evening driving other tractors into the lake, try to get that first tractor out of there. That's not how you win.
Seems
okay.
like a false economy.
I am out of tractors. If anyone has a DLC key for tractors, let me know.
Video games were like, in years gone by, video games were like a fantasy fulfillment sort of vibe.
This is all in my show, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Am I preempting a joke of yours?
No, but just the concept of escapism.
Yeah, that and that now having a job is
the
equivalent the
escapism.
Of that. Yeah.
And like being from Calvin, a rural area. Being softer of hand, but then being like, Farm Simulator, fucking love it.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I related a lot to Max Payne 2.
Yeah.
Loved Max Payne 2.
All those painkillers.
He must have been wrecked, the amount of diving he was doing for me.
He was.
All I would do
did
is...
Did you ever jump on, like, a tennis court and fucking, like, try
yeah,
and that's... fall on your side? That wrecks, he's doing that to get through just hallways.
Yeah, I'd
when
be
not playing
run.
Max Payne, that's just how I travel.
Imagine...
It's true.
Can you uphill?
Can you
take
imagine,
forever.
Can you imagine actually doing what he did, attacking someone? You just run straight at them and dive right at their face and shoot them in the face. A mess.
That's
yeah,
constant.
Good old
Max
Payne.
Did you play
Max
Payne 3 by any chance?
No.
I only played one
I'll
of them.
I'll give you a lend of
briefly.
It.
It must have been the one you have then. And I just kept being like, oh, this diving thing's real fun. But we're on the top of like a multi-story car park or the top of some construction site.
That's dodgy. You're going to fall off.
Tell me about it.
Well, that's why the painkillers are a large game mechanic.
It's very hard to take the painkillers as you're falling 60 floors, though. There's not really time.
Max gets it done.
They're just going around.
The best game ever. And as this is someone who doesn't play games much, was Siphon Filter.
Ah, yeah, that's a good game.
Loved that.
It's a pretty good game.
I loved it because there was a glitch.
I never played it.
There was a glitch where, like, if someone was if you're at the bottom of a hill and someone's running down, and you shot them in the knees with a shotgun, they would just like fly 40 foot in the air every time. Don't know what it was about. So I was just sitting there going like, this is hilarious. Just bodies.
Early physics engine.
Always good crack. Yeah, London was fun. I didn't have time to really see any. I was only over for like less than 24 hours.
I'm sure you've been. You've seen the sights at this
exactly.
Stage.
So I was like, I've got an hour and a half to kill before my flight. I'll walk down Stirling and Camden. I hop off the train, run into my friend Miriam, who is a partner of Finn Keenan, a video maker. Who
oh, cool.
You know, yeah. So I was like, oh, hey, thanks, blah, blah, blah. Chatting for a few minutes. Went on down, strolled around Camden a bit more. Met two lads who are the dads of two of the Stripes. Chatting in for a bit. They were like, oh, the lads are around the corner. Then went in and hung out with the Stripes for a bit. So the only people I met in London were from Calvin Town.
Right,
So, you know, good trip. Good trip all around. Kept it local.
Hey, guys. It's Davey. I don't know, having this planned, if you couldn't tell. So I just had an album come out on Bandcamp of my show Dysmorphin Time. You can get it if you'd like. DaveyRiley.bandcamp.com. It is a €5, but if you want to pay more, you can. If you pay over a tenner, I'll send you a signed poster of the show. That's DaveyRiley.bandcamp.com. Thanks.
Rob, what's your 2 weeks been like?
I was up in Letterkenny last weekend for
oh my God.
A few days. Yeah, we went through Lifford. I can see where you're a depressed bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Lifford, yeah.
Lifford's where you're from?
Yeah.
Miserable
little town. Real border town.
So hold on, that's in Donegal.
Hmm.
Where in... So, so
no, I was in Letterkenny.
Letterkenny is in Donegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
yeah. For another half. Lifford's those are real...
Right on, like you cross over a bridge in Lifford and you're in Northern Ireland.
Right, right.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Signs that have the London crossed out of Londonderry.
Oh, yeah. All of them, yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah. And you know how the best thing about it is how efficient they are. So when a new sign's up, it's destroyed within 2 hours. I'm like, who is keeping track? Like, I can just imagine some guy
putting the signs up.
Yeah, yeah, it must. That would be the only way because there's times
how many
like,
signs are up. Sure, look, they've been vandalized again. We just put it up.
Yeah, yeah,
that's great.
You were telling me before there was some signs in Donegal, like free this lad.
Free John Brady, yeah. It's all over Lifford still. Yeah, he's dead years. No, they killed him in prison. He was about to be released like 2 days and they killed him. I don't know what it is. I don't even know what side he's on, but he is everywhere.
But there's still these free John Brady.
Yeah, it's all over Lifford. You don't even notice it. Like, as soon as you go in the big massive things, like, free John Brady.
Grab a shovel.
No. Grab a shovel. Yeah he's...
Yeah, I was going to say, did they read the news that they're aware that they're fighting a lost cause?
Yeah, exactly.
Free Mandela.
Lifford's a real mad place. We had a serial killer kind of dude as well.
Really?
Kind of be a serial killer.
I don't know what the
threshold is.
Three is probably the smallest serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. So
was it the one time?
Technically,
yeah, he's an amateur serial killer.
Was it no? But it was like a three. Is three at one?
It was three in the one go as well. Like really,
the old three in one.
This is a mass killing.
So
yeah,
this is like a 50 Cent shooting sort of job.
So yeah, you pointed that out to me.
What is
where he's always talks about how he's been shot 9 times, but it was one occasion. It's not like every time he goes down the shops, he gets fucking riddled.
It was probably like one shotgun blast,
right?
So the old
Princess Four,
the old Lifford 3-in-1 was a murder rather than a
he got angry with his girlfriend, I think it was, and then he shot her, and then when shot her Muller, and then shot her Fowler, and then went to shoot the uncle with the shotgun, and the gun jammed, right? So then he pleaded insanity. They're like, oh, yeah, fine. So they sent him to Dundrum.
Oh, yeah.
The road.
Yeah, Dundrum meant the thing. He jumped the wall there.
It's a big wall.
Is a fucking 25-foot wall.
Which is a big wall. I lived in Windy Arbor, so I just don't know how he managed
it. It's a fucking big wall.
Jumped that wall and moved to Strabane, which is the town next to it. And you can't extradite someone from Northern Ireland for mental illness. So,
really?
So he killed the 3 people, and then within like 6 months, he's living.
Like 2 miles down the road.
You can see them. He's waving at
them. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
And my dad keeps pointing them out. And I'm like, don't do that. I don't even know why. I'm like, just don't point them out.
Jesus Christ.
There's Frank.
First name terms.
Frank. There's Frank.
Just want to go back for a second and say that.
And apparently everyone's like trying to lure him. into Lifford to catch him. So the guards
even out sweets.
The guards get tip offs like who's on the flower shop? And they'll fucking run down to the shop. Like, he's not here.
He's banging across the border. Yeah. Jeez.
Running across the bridge.
I don't know, I actually haven't looked up on that. I don't know where he has been the last 7-8 years.
Oh, he must be raging if Brexit happens, if the hard border comes in. He's not getting near that flower shop.
He'd be great.
He'd be like, you can never get me now.
Campaigning on the bridge. If he actually stands on the bridge putting his foot over the line.
Then he takes his phone out, sees that he's got Meteor coverage, and they're like, that's enough. He's got Irish mobile coverage.
Oh, man. There's a little thing called...
This is my favorite one. My dad always makes, my dad's a character, all right? There's a place that's just on the bridge. Like, it's a shop that has a takeaway, right?
Right.
And my dad used to always do this. He'd go in and he'd go, he thinks everything's really still in the north and the troubles. Mm-hmm. So he'd be like, what do you want? He'd make me go in to get order the takeaway. And he'd go, give me a barter box. And I'm like, what is a barter box? And then I walk in, nobody in there. I was like, what's a barter? And they were like, can I have a barter box? And they're like, what are you talking about in the takeaway? And then I was like, oh, my dad said they used to call them barter boxes. And she goes, I own this place for the last 50 years. We've never sold barter boxes. I come into my father and he goes, I'll go in, I'll get a fucking barter box, you idiot. Walk in, like 2 minutes later, he comes out. I'm like, what's that? He's like, sovereign fried chicken and chips. Bit of a rant there, but that was it.
Why is it called, where's the border?
Sorry, something fried chicken and chips?
Just sovereign fried chicken's what he was trying to
do. So eat a dinner box or a snack box. Border box.
He somehow made the takeaway related to the troubles. Good crack.
Your lad had a fucking cracker on Facebook during the week. You shared that post about what he sold something for.
Oh, I just came up on this day.
Time hop.
Go on.
Yeah.
It was something about... I said something that he sold my medical card for a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. And then he commented saying, I'd have sold you, but there was no takers.
Yeah.
Great.
And then someone just commented, like, up Donegal.
Oh, yeah. That's the neighbour. That's the next door neighbour.
He just sees that, like, he's got, this is his moment, right?
Yeah.
To comment on something. You've got a big social media presence. Yeah. This is where he gets to deliver Slam. His message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up Donegal.
That person of Up Donegal is
And then your dad
neighbor.
Commented being like, that's nice that simple people get online sometimes. Like, then just burned your man. Like, your dad was just both barrels, everybody. It was just, who's next?
So the guy that wrote Up Donegal is my next door neighbor. And them two just scream the most horrific, offensive stuff. So if the two of them are outside the house at any one time, they'll just be screaming. And my mother will be like, stop shouting that so loud. Like, I can't even say the words. They'll be shouting at each other. So then my dad's originally from Strabane, from Tyrone.
Right.
So they're all Donegal, big Donegal, Tyrone, GAA thing. Uh-huh. So my dad doesn't even watch GAA, but he went and cable tied a 25-foot Tyrone flag in our front garden. Cable tied it like an unnecessary amount of cable ties. It's actually impossible.
He knew someone was going to try and take this down.
All the neighbors freaking out, and he's like, you can't come in here and take it down. I came out one day driving, and we drove back home. And you just see Dermot, the guy who rode Up Donegal, running with a saw. He was trying to cut it down while we were away.
Jesus Christ.
Your ally has no interest in guy at all.
Nah, not really, no.
Just your dad's just standing at the bottom of a hill, waiting for a lad to run down, shooting him in the knees, flying 40 feet in the air.
Me playing farm sim is the equivalent of you shooting lads in the knees.
Yeah,
it's, it's your background, but you're not getting involved in it.
Sleeps with a pillow under his gun. He's some boy.
Jesus Christ.
I'll get him on someday.
Oh my God, that'll be unreal.
So Rob, what did you make of Letterkenny when you were over there?
Yeah, it's a nice little town.
Donegal is beautiful, to be fair.
Yeah, it's my first time up there, so... Mm-hmm.
Wrong side. That's when people go, oh, I still love you from Donegal. And I go, wrong side, man. I'm from the troubled side.
Right. You know, I went to the Gaeltacht up there when I was a kid, but I didn't speak a word of Irish.
That's nice up there, yeah.
So what, the coast is fine?
Yeah, it's like mostly closer to the coast is fine. That little part where I am along the border, it's less. Yeah. It's not scenic, put it like that. It's grand, but it's not scenic.
Yeah.
Letterkenny's just like the point where when you go past it, any of the directions, everything starts getting really nice.
Yeah. It is true about the north in general, like Newry, any of those.
Once you cross over, everything just becomes grey.
I always see
grey, man.
Yeah, all the houses are like brown schemed, grey. Like, everything just goes slightly darker. I noticed that too when I go into Monaghan as well.
Not pleasant.
I was only told this the other day. Do you know, Fermanagh and Tyrone were supposed to be in the Republic?
But I think they were all supposed to be in the Republic.
Well, it's a very good point. But like when they were divvying them up, they were like, "And we'll take Antrim, Armagh, Down, and Derry, and blah, blah, and you can have Fermanagh and Tyrone, and we'll have Fermanagh and Tyrone." And then the North were like, "No, we'll have them." Like, no, we'll have them. And then someone just went over to England and were like, "Well, we were chatting to Ireland. They're fine with it. Fermanagh and Tyrone, we can have them. Don't bother asking them."
This is 1921. Now.
Yeah, they're like, "It's fine. We got them. We said
contact Mick.
We ran it by them. It's fine. He's busy with Dev. Just throw them our way." So a friend of mine from Enniskillen was saying this to me. I was like, "Oh, I feel really bad about giving you all this Nordy shit." She's like, "Yeah, we should have been one of you guys." I'm like, "Ah, oh, Imagine the north of Ireland just being four counties, though.
You wouldn't worry about it as
You'd
much.
You'd be all right.
I mean, it's over, you know.
Sure, look, we'll Don't see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fucking Arlene Foster kicking a boot.
Come on. I've had a very interesting 2 weeks. What have I got up to?
You weren't down the opposite of Donegal.
I was down in Wexford.
Sunny southeast.
In the sunny southeast. Had a lovely time staying in what can only be described as God's waiting room. it was a resort hotel that I won't name and was lovely. Like, don't get me wrong. Gorgeous hotel, gorgeous food. You know, bit 1970s, but that's because that was the heyday of a lot of... I say heyday, they would have been in their 50s, most of the clientele in the 70s, but...
It was the Florida of Ireland.
Oh, my God, it was remarkable. It was unbelievable now. It was a grey plague of vultures. They do afternoon tea at 4, like, and the fuckers can move fast enough when they want to. When there's a bit of cake on the go, they descend like a transparent grey mist.
The Zimmer frame just goes, you push a button and the wheels come out. And
it. Oh, it's unbelievable, like...
It's like fucking a segue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's insane. And they just jump on that. They're taking 3 or 4 slices because they know they're not making 2 trips. Oh, you know what I mean?
Lord, might not be cake tomorrow.
No, this might be your last cake. Like. But no, genuinely, like there was a couple of times where I'd be looking around the sun loungers and stuff. You'd be like, that lad's dead. That's definitely just been dead for about 2 hours.
The flies. Typical tourists. Flies are gathering. Putting their corpses on the sun lounger.
Oh.
Coming back for them later in the day.
But yeah, no, it was genuinely very, very pleasant. He had lots of, they had a really lovely spa place there where there was sort of an indoor-outdoor swimming pool. You could swim from the inside into the outside and you could sort of swim under it. And it was very crystal maze and very fun.
Never not a novelty, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like a saltwater pool. So, like, you were really floaty. It was a warm saltwater pool.
Oh, nice.
So it was all floaty and stuff and, like... Loads of got a massage. Had some weird one rubbing up on me. I didn't enjoy it, but you know, I'm not a fan of a massage now. You know what I mean? I don't like strangers touching me, to be honest. But Donna was very chill. You know, she was relaxed and stuff. And yeah, it was lovely. We did before we went away on that. Actually, we went to Donna, where she's from, had their community fete job. So we all went down to that community fete.
I saw a little. Pennants or bunting.
Bunting, yeah, decent amount of bunting.
What is bunting?
Bunting.
How are you from the north and don't know what bunting is?
That stuff.
What, flags?
Yeah, flags. Yeah.
Triangular flags.
The mini flags.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah. Loads of that.
The wee flags.
Me and Donna did a bunch of face painting for the kids. Not a drop of Garda clearance between us.
You just dry brushing some young'uns.
I really used the L model expertise. I really did. I did a couple of fucking...
Pencil.
I did a couple of deadly Spider-Man.
Is that why you had to go to Game Shop? You ran out of Nullen Oil?
No. Yeah, well, this is it, yeah.
So some kids with Earthshade.
No, I was using my brushes, but I was using the other paint, like...
the Dulux.
I was using the Dulux, using the lead. I did a bunch of Spider-Man. I was happy with a Pikachu. Girl asked for a Pikachu, knocked a Pikachu out, no hassle. Bunch of Irish flags, because Ireland were playing Austria that evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so a bunch of
That's
Irish
an easy one.
Junk. Yeah, that
do you
was
put
happening.
The white in, or do you just sort of leave the pasty?
Oh, I do the white. I do the white. And we didn't have orange, so I was making my own. You know what I mean? high level stuff.
Just added berries.
Yeah. Just exactly.
Berries in my waddy.
It was good. It was good crack. And we had to. There was like loads of games and stuff. There was one game. I was walking over to say hi to James, the youth correspondent who's been on the show. You know, and. Sort of got pulled in. It was like, John, this guy Mick, who was doing the plumbing work in our house.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, come here, you'll be on our team for this game. Come over here, right? I'm like, all right. So now I'm in a game.
Yeah.
Right, I was walking over to say hi to James.
As of yet, unknown, just game.
Don't know what the game is, right? So there's loads of little foam squares with weird shapes cut out of them. And you needed to run across to a bunch of things, pick up a foam square and run back, and then you'd tag the next person in your team who'd run out, and you had to find the same shape cut out of your foam square.
Right.
So my first question was like, lads, is this a running game? Which immediately placed where I was in the spectre of this game, you know what I mean? But it was good crack. We did a bunch of run.
It was a competitive relay jigsaw.
It was, yeah. It was an odd one. It was good fun. And went down to Wexford and very pleasant.
Wexford's an unbelievable spot. I was gigging in there a few weeks ago with Tom the Bear. And the money in that county,
I'm sure, yeah,
is insane. Like, the Grant. Main street and all Grant.
Says the fucking Cavan man, what?
But
fucking
whole,
tight as a duck's arse.
That's it. But this is why I was so jealous. Wexford, like, the main street is paved. And once it's 6 o'clock, no traffic can go up it. It's
really?
They pedestrianise it.
I didn't
and
know
then
that.
All of the whole main street is just, like, local-owned shops.
Right.
And there's not a single closed... There's one closed-down shop, and it's a Dunnes. So you don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's just like...
I was sure that was in the news recently about Dunnes keeping all their closed down shops across the country and fucking up local economies.
Yeah,
that was a literal thing on the news.
Free up the units.
Yeah.
Wexford town, gorgeous. It's like, oh, because they have, it's the sunny southeast, so they, they're effectively the High Garden of Ireland in that they control a lot of the produce.
Yeah, just strawberries and potatoes. Although I say just potatoes in this, you know.
Yeah.
They sound strawberries.
There was loads. We went through about, I would say, on the road home, there was at least 12 strawberry stalls on the side of the road, which can't be legal because it's a motorway.
Yeah.
And you have to pull over on the side of the motorway to buy strawberries off some lad.
Like 80 miles an hour. That'd be
like something out of Blues Brothers. You wouldn't know what's blood and what's strawberries.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How many people here? Like, that was an unmanned stand. It's fine. I got the gut. And it's always children. It's always like
young lads, yeah.
12-year-old is just dropped on the side of the motorway. I'm like, right, see you in 6 hours.
Well, that was always a big thing when I was growing up in Wicklow. Your first job would be going picking strawberries at the co-op farm.
Really?
That was sort of everyone's first gig.
I always, like, the strawberry vans, the one thing about them is, why is always the strawberries the sign? Why does it look like it was written in strawberries? It's always looking like it's written in blood, or they've just went, yeah, give us two.
You're
them.
Absolutely right.
Anyway, it's strawberries.
Just like, you're absolutely right. And then just starts
what's
writing
that about?
With it.
Like it's a pen.
Yeah.
It's like there is not a single professional printers in all of Wexford. Like,
yeah, for all the money and signage that they should be doing.
Bit of wood.
You're absolutely right. That is completely... I'm thinking back every single one.
Yeah. Strawberries.
Strawberries sold 100 metres.
Like that Taskmaster one where Lily Alifobe was rubbing a cake into a wall.
Yeah.
Strawberries.
Lolly, yeah.
Lolly.
The lineup for new Taskmaster was announced.
Yeah, earlier. Mark Watson.
Ashton B, who's the reason
what's
I saw
this for?
Yeah. Taskmaster.
The hell's that?
It's a good show,
best
man. Game
check
show.
It out.
It's class, yeah, it's really good. Bob Mortimer.
Nish Kumar.
Nish is great. Lucy Phillips, who I'm not familiar with.
Oh, tell you who she is, if that's the right name. I'm not sure if that is her name. But it's Lucy something, I think. But she is in Veep she's like the Finnish ambassador in Veep, and she's great in it.
She's English, though, is she?
Yeah. She's super good.
Be really interested to hear this American version of it goes.
We were down in Wexford literally the night that came out, so the afternoon before the lineup was announced, and me and Donna were having a discussion over lunch of who, if you were the producer of Taskmaster, who your top five would be. And Donna had a fucking great one, which was Joanna Lumley. Joanna Lumley on that would be outstanding.
Yeah.
She'd just pull an Al Murray and throw money at everything.
She would. I think so. Joanna Lumley, Johnny Vegas.
Oh, Johnny Vegas would be incredible. I'd love to see Acaster on it.
I said Acaster, yeah.
It's pretty much Greg Davis and Alex Horn. So Alex Horn did the show in Edinburgh for a few years, and it's a TV show now. So like 10 weeks before filming, they're set all these tasks and they do them, and then they, for the live show, then it's recorded in a theater and they watch back all of their attempts, so nobody knows how they did compared to everyone. Yeah. And Greg Davis just comes up with the scoring system on the spot and it's unscripted. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
Sounds fun.
You have like, you've got a half an hour to get this task done.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Murray lives really close to where they film, and so often will just pay somebody, he'll just throw money at the problem.
It's because he lives nearby, he knows a gong rental place nearby, so loads of his tasks inexplicably involve gongs.
It's like, oh, there's a drum rental shop around the corner that I knew sold gongs.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, he was gas. Do you see the finale of season 4?
No, I haven't finished season 4 yet.
It's really, really great. They do a super cut at one point of just all the times Mel Giedroyc is being really positive about something.
Oh, great.
It's genuinely, you could use a clip of that and it would save the world.
Reggie Watts is hosting the American spin-off.
Oh, amazing.
It's the wrong casting,
Paul
man.
Paul F. or Nick Offerman.
Paul F. Oh, Nick all day. Incredible. Nick Offerman all day.
Because Alex Horn is like the weird sidekick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And you So Greg Davis is like whatever 6'7" and is just really commanding, and
he's set on a throne at the live shows, like that kind of vibe.
So Reggie Watts, Sally Phillips, is one's name.
Right.
Just feels like she need, or he needs
need
more
someone commanding. Yeah.
So Reggie Watts, like,
Paul,
I don't.
Paul F or. Nick or Offerman, off, I think not Offerman would be super.
I think Paul F. Would actually work brilliantly as well. Like he's so great at improv across the board.
Yeah.
I think it'll work really, really well with it. Anyway, sure.
It'll be interesting to see who they get on as guests.
I think Alex Horn is the sidekick in the American.
He is, yeah. But that's the issue, is that he's like wacky.
Kind of wacky people.
And then Reggie is
Watts
wacky.
Is wacky, yeah.
Yeah.
You need a straight man, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you need a straight man in there. Sorted out.
But by that I mean characteristically.
In the old comedy pairing.
Yeah.
This needs more
people.
Straight men. Hey guys, this is Rob here, and I just wanted to let you know that my brand new album, All Things Must Pass by the Cooper Church Amendment, has now been released online after 9 months. So if you want to check out my Twitter, I've got the links on there, or if you want to go directly to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com, you can listen to it for free on there, or if you want to support some Irish music, you know, throw a few quid towards. It's only €7, and I really hope that you guys enjoy.
Just watching Orange is the New Black, couldn't help but think it.
You start watching the new season?
I actually did start watching the new season because Donna was watching it, and my opinion from last season and the season before has not changed.
Okay, what's your opinion? Because I have a wee opinion of whatever I've seen.
So don't. I'm only 2-3 episodes in the season.
I won't give away anything.
No, I don't know. I think it's largely garbage. I think that it's needs to pick a tone and sit with it for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's tonally all over the gaff. I think it is in no way a comedy and has vast amounts of cheek.
What? It's not supposed to be a comedy, is it?
It won the
Emmy.
It puts in for
the Golden Globe.
The Golden Globes. It wins all the comedy awards from the Golden Globes every single year. And it has some fucking, because it knows that because it's comedy or. That category is comedy or musical variety show.
Yeah, great.
That's the Golden Globe category. And sure, they know they have a much better chance going up against that than whatever the equivalent of Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad, quality TV sort of carry on. So they just put it in comedy every year, which I think they have a huge amount of cheek. There you go.
Anytime, my only problem I thought with it is what the show's about is its major flaw, the prison. It's so boring because they're in four different rooms the whole time, and it's just people wandering over to each other and having a conversation.
Yeah.
And they just say it never sticks to anything. They go, oh, Denise doesn't like me today. And they walk over here, and then once every 2 episodes, something horrific happens, you know? And they're not afraid that somebody gets fucking raped or stabbed.
Sweet Valley High regeneration.
And then it just comes back to it again. Like, oh, everyone calm down. Oh, there's something up with the warden. He's got personal demons. You're like, oh, come on, Jesus.
And like, they've all been, it's 5 series and nobody's really been released. You're like, there shouldn't be turnover. Like, not everyone went in. Same day, same sentences.
Even if you look at like the tone of how they handle, like, because the tone is all over the place, but I could see that being a problem if you were doing a show set in any prison, right?
Yeah. Mm.
The tone is, because you're going to want to do
like
hard moments.
Like, Oz was the prison show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It went just straight grit.
Yeah. But like, you're doing a show in a women's prison, you want to show sort of camaraderie and empowerment and all these various things, and then you also want to be truthful as to the horrible events that could happen in a prison,
right? Alien 3.
But at the same time, written by Joss Whedon, wasn't it? There you go.
Was it?
I think so.
3 or 4, one of them.
Anyway, the point is, even if you look at things that have the same subject matter, how they're tonally treated. So, like, for instance, there's in the first series that whole romantic angle between the ex-soldier and the Latina prisoner, whose name eludes me.
Dia,
yeah. And, you know, various other points, they have, like, treatment of effectively sexual assault. Whereas in this, in which by the way, is sexual assault, because you don't have the right to give consent if you're a prisoner. Right? They treat it like it's Beauty and the Beast, like they treat it like it's a fucking Disney movie, whereas what we are witnessing and supposedly trying to root for is effectively rape. Like, it's really... So just tonally, even with the same things, like mental illness, for instance, you can do really grim episodes on mental illness with Catherine Janeway's character.
Red.
Red. What's the actress's name again?
Kate Mulgrew.
Kate Mulgrew, thank you. Or, say, for instance, the girl, I really like the Italian-American Morello. With bright red lips, Morello. You can do really dark mental health episodes with them, but then you have Crazy Eyes, who is genuinely something fundamentally wrong and is treated as character, or as comic relief for a series and a half, you know what I mean?
Even the current season, I was like, Don was like, I'm not going to, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to give out in a way, I don't want to sully your opinion on it. And I was like, huh? She's like, oh, fuck.
You're four episodes in?
Two or three. Yeah.
Okay, so but can you give a synopsis of what you've seen so far in the latest season, just very briefly?
The prisoners have taken over.
Right.
And they're being rather civilized towards each other. And right. I'm finding it incredibly incredulous.
So the prisoners have taken over, they've stolen a gun.
Yeah.
And they've taken this is how the last season ended. Yeah, they stole a gun and they took over the prison. So the prisoners are now in charge of the prison. And we are supposed to believe that that issue would not be resolved within 2 hours.
Yeah.
That they would not be fucking SWAT teams down at the doors. Instead, they get a full, I don't know how far, I'm probably just hanging around outside.
Being like, days pass. Yeah.
Like long periods of time pass where it's just like, well, I guess the prisoners run the prison now. Yeah. That's just the way the prison is.
Let's negotiate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
They've got one gun. like, we have a SWAT team. Whoever has the gun, shoot them.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
And again, they sort of...
Just gas the place. Yeah. Like, I'm not condoning the mistreatment of prisoners, but if they've taken over, there are ways around it rather than like, we're going to just have to wait till they tire themselves out. I mean, they've got to sleep sometime. It's like a child with a toy, like.
If you were going to do that series... And by the way, I don't know, they got like a thing about early on in that series, which was a bit I saw where they were like making the guards get undressed in the chapel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really uncomfortable.
So they go straight Abu Ghraib with it. And again, it's played for laughs. Like it's sort of like one of them is Mormon and it's sort of like, oh, he's so uncomfortable being sexually humiliated. Like, lol. Like, what a funny comedy. This deserves all the awards. But say if you were going to do that and you were going to do a series where they took over the prison, then you've, like, what, 12, 13 episodes in a season? Mm-hmm. Do it real time. Like, a real time thing where each hour is an hour of a 12 or 13 hour standoff.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, and like...
Or even a day. This episode is day one, day two, day
three. Yeah. But if you did it real time, like it would bring a real freshness to the actual way that it was shot, an episode is constructed.
And it makes sense as to why they're not rushing the place in episode one.
Yeah, and then the entire thing is 12 hours and done, in and out. Like, that would be thrilling. Anyway.
I see Ruby Rose has got a lot of roles now after it. That is her name, isn't it? Yeah. Ruby Rose.
Yeah. Who's Ruby Rose?
She was the Australian lady. She was in like 2 seasons ago.
Oh, was she? I thought she was still in it. She was in John Wick 2.
She was in John Wick 2.
The Return of Xander Cage, XXX.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Great film.
We've been doing, me and Emer and Donna, former guest of the show, Emer Sugru, have been doing, we have a long-standing bad movie night, Tuesday Cruise Days. Yeah. Where it started with us watching bad Tom Cruise films, of which there are a lot. Do you know what? They're not bad enough, to make it like it's not like watching Manos, The Hands of Fate, or The Room, or Evil Baby Geniuses,
Baby Geniuses 2 is the one that's regarded as the worst.
It's not Birdemic like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just sort of a bit shit Tom Cruise films, but there's something captivating about
Edge
Tom Cruise in it. Edge of Tomorrow was a superb film. But Valkyrie wasn't terrible. We watched that one.
You do run out of good Tom Cruise movies, and then Cruise Tuesdays, I think, then became
Fast and the Furious.
Oblivion.
Which is what we were watching. Now, we watched Oblivion, and it was so dreadful. I think we had watched...
It's like a copy of something that was just out as well. What was it?
It's a mixture of something like that.
And...
That's a very good shout, actually.
It's a Mark Wahlberg movie where there's a tower to the sky.
It's a Mark Wahlberg one, yeah.
Is that the one? And there's like two classes. And
That was Elysium. That was
Elysium,
I watched Elysium.
Same person. Three years ago.
That's what I was thinking of.
The prototypical white man.
It's funny you said that.
You watched Elysium?
It finished just before I got on the bus.
Really?
I watched Elysium this morning.
That's gas.
I liked it. It was good. And I don't like Matt Damon. But it's all right, Grant.
We started watching Fast and the Furious through, which is why...
I've seen all of them.
I had not seen any of them.
It's funny, the shift.
Yeah. You noticed the shift.
We just finished Fast 4.
Okay, no.
Kicks in hard with 5.
Oh, no, there's definitely a shift at 4. Like, yeah, there's definitely a tonal shift, but I am awaiting the entrance of the Rock. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for this thing to really knock up the gears.
Love them. They're terrible, but I do love them.
I've only seen 6.
It's much like thing where people are going, it's a terrible film, and you're like, yeah, it is, but it is pure enjoyable.
Yeah, John Carpenter's.
Like, if there's days you'd be like, people are freaking about 7. Well, it's amazing. I was like, it's not that good. 6 is great, and 8, the newest one's great. Like, he's directing Torpedoes.
Sorry. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the David Fincher movie 7.
Because it's just like, that is a great film.
6 is great. 8's going to be fantastic.
It's a prequel and a sequel. Oh, interesting.
Very good.
Oh, brilliant.
Sorry, I thought you were just... I thought you were genuinely doing a bit, like...
No.
They've added another deadly sin.
But this is it, yeah, man. That was... We even watched...
Slaughter.
We're doing it chronologically, so we've not watched... We've seen Fast 4... Or no, it's not called Fast 4. It's called Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Just to absolutely fuck with people trying to watch it chronologically, right?
Yeah.
So we've not seen Tokyo Drift yet, but we have watched the two interluding short films, one of which was directed by Vin Diesel to link the narratives together.
Los Bandoleros. Is that the one you've watched?
Orson Welles by Vin Diesel. And starring, my friend.
My God, I love Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. I really dig Vin Diesel.
It's called The Turbocharged Prelude for Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the full title of the movie.
I tell you what, lash that on over the break and just see how turbocharged it is.
Right, we'll
because
do that.
It is nightmarishly boring.
Oh, I see. So it was a 6-year gap. Oh, yeah. So you said this to me, that Tokyo Drift was chronologically set after the 6th one.
Yeah. Mm. So we have to do...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know why.
Because I believe, without spoilers, and I believe something happens to a character named Han.
Yes. That makes perfect sense. I didn't know that. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So that's...
Like, it's as if they were playing to me. Like, say, I was like, it's a bit boring now. And the next time, bang, Jason Statham. Yeah. Massive Jason Statham fan.
I'm really looking forward to the appearance of Statham.
Fast 6, you're like, oh, hang on, what are they? Oh, and then looking at the chronological.
You know, this isn't really a spoiler, but I have to go into it. Cause
loads of spoilers in Fast and Furious.
I will
car movie.
Cry. That was actually good.
It was almost as good and almost got less than it deserved than your 3-in-1 joke earlier on.
Thanks.
Which got glossed over but was the best triple murder Chinese food joke that you're going to hear today. Go on, sorry. You've got a spoiler.
It's not really a spoiler, but I cried laughing.
Right.
At the end of Fast 7 and the start of Fast 8.
Right.
Where they try and deal with Paul Walker's death. Okay.
In the seven, he kind of just...
It's not really a spoiler. What happens at the end is he just goes, oh, I'm out. We spend time with my family. Right? Is essentially what he does. But the ending scene has...
They're lucky to have got that bit shot, aren't they?
They are. But it's him on the beach with his family and they're all sitting, the rest of the crew, looking at him going like clearly talking like he's dead, but he's in front of them. So I was sitting going, this is so weird, you know, right? And then that Charlie Puth, Wiz Khalifa fucking song comes on, like, right? So that's grand, like, but, you know, they're just talking like he just died, which he had, but they're looking at him like he's right in front of them in the film. And it filmed, they're like, I can't remember his character's name, but they're just like...
Oh, it's Brian O'Connor.
Brian O'Connor, the worst action hero name of all time.
We could bring Brian into this. There's literally one part where Ludacris is like, we could bring Brian into this, and he goes, no, he's still with his family. As if they're just had to make sure everyone knows. He's still alive in the
universe.
Oh, wow.
Canonically, Paul Walker is alive.
Because I thought they were like, oh, just off him film. No, he's just off with his family.
I did a lot of laughing in it now.
There was a good one
Didn't
where...
Didn't his brother have to film the rest of his scenes?
So, yeah.
Is that right?
And then he CGI'd his face.
Really?
It's got to be a grim...
There has to be something weird about this CGI and crap.
It's the best use of Snapchat's face swap, though.
Oh, that's great, yeah. That's pretty much what they use.
Paul Walker's brother.
Star Wars. Yeah. Leia and Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One.
That's what I was like. Isn't that not really weird? He's dead like 30 years or so.
Dead 23 years, yeah.
And I found it very
unsettling.
It is unsettling.
It lands right down in the very quarry of the uncanny valley.
Yeah. I felt that.
When's that going to stop? Is it going to have like Winston Bogart starring in films again? Like, or what?
Hang on. Can we just.
Go on, go back for the reference.
Humphrey Bogart is who you're talking about.
Winston
Bogart was a Dutch footballer who played with Chelsea in the early 2000s and is famous for signing a massive contract and never playing and refusing to leave the club because he was happy taking a wage.
So I had no idea you meant Humphrey Bogart.
Winston Bogart.
It's not even the same second name.
Yeah, it's Bogart.
Bogart. That is amazing.
Winston Bogart.
That'd actually be even more impressive if they photoshopped Winston into Phillips. Whatever happened, Wesley Snipes?
We'll leave it there. I've had a blast today, ladies and gentlemen. We will come back for that later. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the Wednesday Spiritually Tuesday up of the show to the show. I really hope that you have as well. Ryan, will you stick around for the next episode?
I will, of course. Yeah.
You're a king among men. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find him at RyanCullen90 at various social media platforms, and I highly recommend that you do. He's the only fucking good thing on it. Am I right? Mr. Ryan Cullen.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you for being here, Ryan. Also with us today, he is the Barrett to our Cloud Strife, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
And he almost couldn't be here today, the co-host of the show, because he was web-slinging, and by that I mean selling cocaine on the internet, Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's been John Hosier-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by the fine people over at patreon.com/stonefacefilms. Huge thank you to our top lads, Abby Dessert, Anna, Mandy Taylor, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, McMatts, Laura Conway, and Rebecca Hieronymy. Huge thanks to the ensigns of the USS Best Friends, Chelsea Kirkman, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerlow, Jess Angel, and Sam Sweeney Saya. Reach for the stars. Massive thanks as well to the Knights of the Sainsbury's Car Park, Sir Alice and Sir Lard Flames. You are protectors of the realm being Sainsbury's and the shopping trolleys within. And a huge thank you to my small council, the small council of King Rob of the Hand, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla, Don Smith, and the Varus working in the background who wishes not to be named. Thank you so much for your continued support. It's incredible. You're great. And finally, a huge thanks to the stars of the Constellation Aldrin's Mickey, newcomer Liza Cohen, the Goblin Child, Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and the anonymous stars who wish not to be named. Thank you so, so much for your continued support. We wouldn't be able to make this show without you, and you guys are incredible. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your days. Woo! You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.